Ladies, the special singing today has been outstanding. I've enjoyed it this morning, tonight, just been really, really good. And I praise the Lord for those who use their talent for the Lord. It's a blessing. You have your Bible open to Ephesians chapter number 3. And we stated that back on Mother's Day evening that we wanted to start talking to you about the home and preaching to you a little bit about the family and the home. And I got into this passage of scripture, and I believe that this is the key. I could tell you what the Bible says about husbands, and I think that we husbands know, most husbands know what God expects of you. It's not a matter if we know, it's just a matter if we're going to do what we know. Most of us know what God has said. We understand. God has said, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Amen? And gave himself for it. But most of us know what the scripture teaches is the responsibility and the duty of a husband, of a father, as a priest in the home. We understand that. Been saved for a while. We get it. It's just a matter of are we willing to man up and accept that responsibility and that role that God has given us. Most ladies know, you know what God's called you to do, to submit unto your husbands, to be in subjection unto your husband in all things, to reverence your husband, Ephesians 5 says. Most ladies understand that. It's not a matter, again, as if we understand what God has said. The Bible's not written in a language that we don't understand. It's written really as It's a simple, as far as the layout of the scripture, they say it's about a sixth or seventh grade reading level, comprehension level. And I understand it takes the Spirit of God. I'm speaking from a human standpoint. It's not that we don't have the knowledge or possess the ability to know what God is saying. Now, if you're saved, the Spirit of God will work in you to show you and teach you and me what God is saying. And then not only that, and this is where this brings us to the text. This is what God said. If you want to be the husband that I've called you to be, the father, the mother, the wife, children, listen, the daughter, the son, the family member, if you want your family unit to be what God intended it to be, this is where it starts right here in this passage of scripture. And so I just want to get back into this passage, and tonight I think I'm going to wrap it up some. And I want us to take a look at what the apostle's saying here. I just really believe that this is the key. See, I do. I sincerely want to be a godly husband. I want to be a godly father and grandfather. My wife is a godly wife. She's a godly mother and grandmother. Our children, well, that's another story. No, our children are precious to me. They serve God. They love the Lord. They've married just fine, upright, upstanding people. They produce the most beautiful children you've ever seen in your life. And many of them are running around here rolling on the floor. I had somebody come up to me this morning. I think it was Sister Jenny. And said, I tell you right now, y'all were growing the church. And, you feel that way about your family, don't you? You love your family. You thank God for what God has given you. And yet, with that great privilege comes a deep responsibility. God has called us to order our homes. Now, men, the onus is on us. And we'll talk more about that next week. I understand what week we're in, okay? But I do want to get into this. And I want you to just follow along. This is not difficult stuff. It's not. I think sometimes we try to make what God has commanded us to do so difficult. And really it's just a matter of simple obedience to what God has said. It really just comes down, am I going to do what God said or not? If I do it, God's going to honor it and God's going to bless it. If I don't do it, God will not honor it and God will bring chastisement into my life. And there will be consequences for my disobedience. And so I don't want to complicate this at all. But what I do want to do is I want to walk through this and I want to help you. And so there's nobody here tonight that will not be helped if you'll just listen. Okay, whether you're a husband and father, whether you're a mother, a wife, whether you're a son or a daughter, a brother or sister, a grandchild, a grandparent, God wants to help you be what you should be in your family and in your home. And if we'll take this simple advice, now it goes certainly far beyond the home. And it even translates into what we ought to be and how we ought to act within the church. But here the Apostle Paul, in verse number 14, said, for this cause, let's just walk down through this a little bit, okay? He said, for this cause, now, for this cause is referring back to chapters 1 and 2. And he said, for this cause, some of chapter 3, because that you have been blessed with all spiritual blessings. Because God has saved you. He has adopted you. This is what Ephesians 1 and 2. But God, who is rich in mercy, right? Dead in trespasses and sin. Chapter 2 of Ephesians. And God has saved us by his grace. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. And we have been created as God's workmanship. And God has given us this treasure, brethren. This treasure in us. This power, if you will. And if I were just to skip verse 14 and go down to verse number 20, I understand what it's saying, but I just don't know what that looks like in my life. Look at verse 20. Now, unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Now, there may be somebody sitting here tonight saying, preacher, you just don't know. My home is this, or my life is this, or my situation is this. Well, when you read verse number 20, it covers that. Whatever you just thought. Well, what about this? Well, verse 20 covers that. It does. I don't think that what your situation is exceeding abundantly above what you can ask or think. Amen? Amen. Amen. And so don't let the devil lie to you. Now, don't let the devil get you down and make you think, well, you know, your situation is different. Your situation is helpless. Your situation is hopeless. No, you've encountered this for months, maybe years, maybe decades. God is saying there's a power that's not only available to you. Now, please listen to me, but that is resident in you. It resides in you, this power. Notice the way verse number 20 ends, that worketh not for us. It's in us. There is a power in us. We who were saved, we who have been adopted that he covered in chapter 1, we who have been saved by grace that he covers in chapter 2, there's this power in us, brethren. And God said, if you'll just let me work in you, I will do exceeding abundantly above what you ask or can even think with that power that I placed in you when you were dead in your trespasses and sins, and I saved you by my grace, and my Holy Spirit took residence in your heart and life. He said, let me work. Let me work. Let me make your home what I intended the home to be, the ideal home. And so he said, this is what you have to do. Now, I ask you, and if you didn't do it, that's fine, but there's this four-letter word, that. Verse 16 says, that. He said, I'm asking this for you. Paul said, this is what you need right here. You want to have a godly home. You want to be a godly father, godly mother, godly husband, godly wife, godly sibling, godly child. Then this is what you're going to need. He said, there's some things that's going to have to be, well, they're going to have to be put to work in your life. You say, well, I don't like work. Well, if you allow this to work in your life, it'll change. It'll revolutionize your life. And they all start with that. Look, it said in verse number 16, that. And that is causative. Now you say, well, preacher, what does that mean? It means in order that. In other words, if you'll do this, there's a reason God wants you to do it, and he wants me to do it in order that something else may happen. And so he said that God would grant you, and then he goes on to say that. Now look at verse number 17. And so he said in verse 16, do this in verse 17 in order that this may happen. You see what he's saying? In order that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. And then he says, if you look right in the middle of verse number 17, do that, allow Christ to dwell in your hearts by faith, in order that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints. You see that? And then he says in verse number 19, do that
in order that ye might be filled with the fullness of God. And he says, when you do that, now, see the way verse 20 starts? Now you're ready. Now God's going to do exceeding. Now, it didn't say God wouldn't work in your life if you don't do these things. If you're saved, God lives in you. God will work in your life. Amen. God is conforming us to the image of his son, Jesus Christ. And I'm glad for that. But listen, we need some supernatural power. I'm not going to produce a supernatural home, the ideal home that God has laid out in his word, without supernatural power. You're not either. Amen. I'm not going to be the husband that I need to be, the father that I need to be, the man that I need to be without God's help. So here's the recipe, if you will. So I want you to go with me. Let's see what he says. In verse number 16, are you ready? He said, now for this cause, in verse 14 and 15, he kind of lays out, he said, I'm praying for you. And this prayer, as we talked about, is not just about enlightenment. It's about enablement. If you go back to chapter 1, and to do that just for a moment, in chapter 1, he prayed in chapter 1 for this church in Ephesus. And he prayed in verse number 18, he prayed that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. And he said, you know, I want you to know some things. And he proceeds to tell them some things that they needed to know so that they will learn how to operate the power that's in them. He said, you need to know there's a power that's resident in you that you can be more than conquerors through him that loved you. And then you get to chapter number 3, and he says, it's not a prayer for enlightenment, it's a prayer for enablement. He said, now I'm praying that now that you know, you'll do it. You'll let it work in your life, that you will allow God to enable you to do what you've been enlightened to do. Right? Amen. And so he said, this is what you do. Are you ready? It's not complex. It's just a matter, am I going to allow God to do this in my life or not? And you know, I've been accused many, many times of oversimplifying very complex things. From fixing things to doing things. And you know, I try to just take a simple approach to life. You know, when you fall down, you have two options: stay down or get up. I mean, you know, now a lot of things might fit under those categories. Your attitude as you stay down or get up. The purpose of staying down or getting up, and we could go on and on. But really, in the final analysis, you have about two options there. You can stay down and waller in it, or you can get up and go on. Amen. I pray to God that I would be the person that would just get up and go on. Going to fall. Have fallen. But a just man, listen, though he falls 7 times, hey, listen, get up. Get up and go on. You say, well, my home's not what it ought to be. My home's a wreck. I mean, things are upside down, preacher. You just don't know about me. No, I do not know about you. But God knows where you are. God knows what your home needs. And God said, here it is right here. Here it is. So let's look at it. He said, number one, and I'm just going to highlight until I get down to verse number 19, because we've talked about these in a way. He said, you need to be strengthened with might by God's Spirit in the inner man. You see that? And so this tells me something immediately. The outer man's not going to do it. You're not going to be able to go by some self-help, or you're not going to be able to get it for the outer man. This is not about the outer man. What we need in our homes is going to come from the inner man. Say amen with me. Let me know you're listening. Let me know you're with me. Because here's what he said. That he may grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened. You see that word there? It means to be empowered, to increase in vigor, to have a vitality about the way you approach, to be strengthened. By the way, that's a very interesting word. He said that you would be strengthened with might. You see that? Look at it. With might. See that word might? It'd be interesting if you'd go home and just look it up in your Strong's Concordance. It literally means with a miraculous power. That's what it means. You're not going to be able to conjure this up. You're not going to be able to just dig deeper or try harder. You're going to need something from above. If I am going to be a spiritual man, a spiritual father, a spiritual husband, a leader, brethren, I need God to help me. And so you need God to help you. And Paul said, I'm praying that you would understand that God has put something in you already. You already have it. You don't have to go out and look for it. You already have it in you. And he said, I'm just praying that you would be strengthened by might. I want you to hold your place here just for a moment. I'm not going to turn to many scriptures tonight, but I do want you to see something here in 2 Timothy. Paul was at the end of his journey, 2 Timothy chapter 4. And hold your place. We're coming right back to Ephesians. But I do want to show you, this is a man, Paul knew what he was talking about from experience. Now, I understand the Spirit of God told him to write this, but Paul had experienced this. Once you taste of the goodness of the Lord, of the power of God, can I tell you nothing else to do? These counterfeits won't do it, brother. They just won't. And Paul now is coming to the end of his life, and he's writing this final word to Timothy as he's checking out of here. And those famous verses in verse number 6, for I am now ready of chapter 4 to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I've fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I've kept the faith. Amen. He said, but it hasn't been in vain. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me, and not unto me only, but unto all them, he said, that love his appearing. Look, if you would, in verse number 16. Now, here's where he uses our word. In verse number 16, he said, you know what my first answer? No man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Well, I mean, here's a man in prison getting ready to be beheaded. And he said, you know, I pray that God wouldn't hold that against him. Look at verse number 17. Here's how he could say that. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. Amen. Look at this next phrase. And strengthened me. Amen. There's our word, brother. Amen. And that strength that gave Paul the courage and the kindness in his heart to forgive those that accused him, and the courage to stare death in the face, knowing that he was checking out of this world. If you go back to Ephesians, that's our same word where he says, I pray that God would grant you to be strengthened with that kind of strength, that resolve that there's nothing that the devil can throw at you that God hasn't already put in you to conquer. Amen. And he says, so I'm praying that you would be strengthened with might, with supernatural, something outside the realm of possibility, something outside the realm of the natural, with might, by his Spirit. And by the way, that's the only way you get this. It's not for sale. It's not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. And so he said, I'm praying that you would understand, you need this where? In the inner man. Right, brethren? In the inner person. That part of me that's getting younger and younger. Amen. On the outside, I'm getting older and older, but thank God the inward man is getting younger and younger. It's being renewed day by day. Do you feel that vitality in you, that vigor, as God strengthens you in your inner man, just longing to see his face? Amen. This is what gives us the resolve to face the challenges that we face in every area of life, but in particular in our homes. I've said it. I'm not going to back up on it. The greatest guns of the devil are not pointed toward the church. They're pointed toward the home. Because you weaken the home, you've already weakened the church. Say, well, he's after Washington. Hey, listen, you weaken the homes, it weakens the church. The government's gone. There's not much hope. But if we can strengthen our homes, brethren, if we can draw from this strength in our inner man, and this is the first step, and it comes from yielding, but it first comes from enlightenment. We have to understand, I have a power in me. This is not something I'm seeking. When I was first saved, I used to pray something like this: God, give me more of your Spirit. I wanted to be filled with God's Holy Spirit. I did not understand that act of God, and I would pray for more of God's Spirit, not realizing I have all of God's Spirit that I'm ever going to get. You do too. He lives in you. If you're saved, he lives in me. I just need to unleash him. Amen. I just need to unleash this power. I need to yield to this power that's in me. I need to die to myself and let Christ live his life through me. You do too. You say, preacher, I want my home to be stronger. Well, that's a good first step right here. Understand that you have what it takes already. You don't have to go find it. You don't have to go buy it. You don't have to go seek it. It's already in you. Amen. You have within you to be all that you need to be. Number two. Now you say, preacher, why do I need to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man? Notice what he said. In order that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. In order that Christ may settle down in your heart. That's what it means. In order that Christ may feel at home in your heart. In order that you might have that deep sense of communion and fellowship. Where you, it's just you and Jesus. Well, don't you know that's the way Paul felt when I read what I read to you early out of 1 Timothy? He said, no man stood with me. He said, but the Lord stood with me. Just me and Jesus, amen. I'm telling you, brethren, that's where it's at. There's going to be times that your preacher can't help you. Your friend can't help you. Now listen, your friends, your preachers, your family, they should help and they should want to help. But there's going to be times and situations where no one can help but God. And he said, listen, I'm telling you, you need this strength in the inner man so that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. He's writing to a church. They're already saved. He already dwells in their heart. But he said that dwell means to settle in, to feel at home, to have that fellowship, brethren, that fellowship, that communion with God. It's important. You know, when you and the wife are on the outs, you'll need to talk to God about that. So I'm going to go to the counselor. Well, he is wonderful. Counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. He's all that and more, brethren. And I'm just saying that if we would take our problems and lay them at the foot of the cross, I believe that we would have a lot of things resolved that are still ongoing in our homes and in our marriages and in our lives. I said we now. He said, well, preacher, my children are wayward. Take them to Jesus. Amen. Always think about those in the Bible that brought their sons and their daughters to Jesus. And they said, Lord, help us. A child is filled with darkness and devils. And God, we need your help. Amen. Boy, I tell you, they found hope at the feet of Jesus. Amen. You will too. I have. And you have too. You know what I speak to you is so. And I'm telling you, that same power that was exhibited in the person of Jesus dwells in you. Amen. That same power is in you. It's in me. And so he said that, verse 16, he would grant you to be strengthened with might by a spirit in a man so that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Why? Why does that need to happen? So that, look at it, so that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend some things. Yeah. Brethren, can I tell you that what I'm talking to you about tonight is incomprehensible. It's incomprehensible. Do you think for a moment outside of this church to a world that's lost and their minds are darkened that they would understand what I'm saying to you tonight? I'm glad that God takes that is incomprehensible and he makes it comprehensible. Amen. He makes it to where I can see it and understand it, and even greater than that, I can experience it. And so he said, this is why you need to do this. This is why you need that power. This is why you need that strength. This is why you need that supernatural ability in the inner man so that you can have that communion with Christ, that fellowship with Christ, that you'll understand just how much God loves you. Amen. And that's what he's saying. He said that you may, look at it, that ye, verse 17, being rooted and grounded in love. Now, I hope you don't miss this. This is the key right here. You know the reason a lot of people doubt God and doubt self and doubt church or doubt God's word? They don't realize how much God loves them. You know, even in my own life sometimes, I struggle with this. And I'm just bearing my soul with you some. You know, I wish I could just really get a hold. I really do. I wish I could get a hold of what Paul said here. Look at verse 18. I wish I could be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. I wish I could understand how much God loves me. God's love is unfathomable. It's unconditional. God, help us to realize how much you love us. And he said, if you could understand this, you would know that there's nothing you're going through that doesn't gain God's interest. And God cares when your home is on the rocks. God cares when your marriage is struggling. God cares when your children are disobedient. God cares when things are going in a direction that you have prayed that they wouldn't go. Now, God cares. And he's saying right here in this passage of Scripture, you have something inside of you, or should I say someone, inside of you in your inner man, that if you will just allow him to work, he will begin to work all of these things together for the good. And he will begin to enlighten and enable so that these things can come to pass, and you'll be able to see what God is doing in your life. You'll be able to comprehend some things. They'll no longer be incomprehensible. You know, I thought about this. What Paul was saying here, I looked up this word. Look at verse 18. Let's go back just for a second. That you may be rooted and grounded. This just talks, when I looked at it, it's speaking about being soundly established. You don't need to waver on this. See, the reason he said that you would be strengthened, that Christ may dwell, so that you could be really grounded here. You need to be really grounded. You need to kind of understand this is below the surface stuff. This is where the roots grow. This is where you dig in. This is where you learn how to stand against the wiles of the devil, the snare. And so he said here in verse number 18 that you may be able to comprehend. I looked this word up and it was just so interesting to me. It means to seize, to comprehend, to seize, to apprehend, to possess. And this was my favorite one because I believe this takes all of those and it comes down to make it your own. You see, if you'll notice, he said that you may be able to comprehend. Look at that next phrase, with all saints. You say, preacher, I know God loves them, but God wants you to know he loves you. That's where that, to make it your own. To make it your own. God loves you. God cares about you. God cares about your situation. While the devil is telling you God doesn't care about your situation, God wants you to know he does care. And he has locked inside of you a way that your situation can work its way out. And we'll get to that in just a moment. You say, will it work out the way I want it to? It'll work out the way God planned it to. Just got to allow it to. And so, let's read down. I'm about through. So he said, I'm praying in verse number 16 that God would strengthen you with might, with a supernatural might, a miraculous ability. By his spirit in the inner man, your spirit. In order that Christ, verse 17, may dwell in your hearts by faith, so that Christ can feel at home in your heart. There's no war. Listen, he's the Prince of Peace. He brings peace. There's no war. There's a settled peace in your heart. And now Christ feels at home. He resides there. But now when we are strengthened by might, he presides. He is in control. Because this is what we're getting at now. God wants to dominate. He wants his love to dominate my life. Did you get that? Let's read on. Look what it says. That Christ, in order that Christ may dwell in your hearts, in order that you may be rooted and grounded in love. That the love of God would just dominate. You, everything you see through the love of God. Everything you say through the love of God. Everything you do through the love of God. It just dominates. The fruit of the Spirit is love. And it comes out in other ways, and we'll see this in just a moment, but he says, if you'll do that, you'll be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know. That word know is an experiential word. All right, you experience it. But not only do you experience it, listen to me now, you express it. It absolutely controls your thoughts, your mind, your actions, your words. How'd you like that? Have that as a husband, ladies? No ladies? No takers? See, I want my husband's thoughts. I want his actions. I want his words to be dominated by the love of God. Well, I'll go on record saying I want my wife to be that way. I'm not ashamed of that. She's a godly lady. I thank God for her. And I want her to want this for me. There's a lot to be cleaned up in our homes if we would allow this right here to take place in our lives. Now, it's your choice. Now, I can't make this choice for my wife. I can desire it for her. Paul couldn't make the choice in their lives. He prayed it for them. But he couldn't make the choice. They had to. And you have to. Right? We all have to make this choice. Let's bring this to a close. So, what are you saying, Paul? What are you saying? He said, I'm saying this. I'm saying that you would be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. So that ye being rooted and grounded in love. You see that? You're just shaken and vacillating back and forth. No, you're grounded. You're taking your stand. May be able to comprehend, seize, claim as your own with all of the other saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. That you'll just be able to somehow, only by the Holy Spirit, who is dominating now your thoughts and actions, he will be able to reveal to you just how much Christ loves you. Amen. That's what he's saying. Yes. You say, preacher, I want that. You already have it. Yep. Just let it go to work in you. Yield to it. Yield ye your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Is that what the Bible says? You know, really, maybe there's somebody sitting here now, and I just feel this, I'm going to say it. Maybe there's somebody sitting here now saying, preacher, it can't be that easy. Listen to me. I'm just telling you what the Bible teaches. I'm not going to add to this book or take from it. The Bible says it's in you. It's already working in you. It's in you. The question is, are you going to allow it to work in you? It's already in you. The Spirit of God lives in you. Are you yielding yourself to the leadership of the Holy Spirit? Are you dying daily? You say, I die every day. When did you die today? Now, if you didn't die, you're still in charge. When did you die today? When did you get out from behind the wheel and put God behind the wheel? When did you give God control today? You say, well, it just happens, preacher. Is that what happened when you got saved? Did you just happen to get saved? Or did you intentionally repent of your sin and exercise God's gift of faith and trust Christ as your Savior? No, you intentionally prayed to get saved. You intentionally responded to God's call to salvation. Amen. So if you're going to have the Spirit of God to control your life, if I'm going to have the Spirit of God to control my life, I've got to die daily. Sometimes I have to die 2 or 3 times. I told you the world outside wouldn't be able to comprehend this. What do you mean die 2 or 3 times? You know what I'm talking about. You're saved. The Spirit of God lives in you. You know exactly what God's called you to do. And if you're not dying to yourself, let me just go ahead and help you out. The Spirit of God is not controlling your life. He wants to. He desires to. You can have a good man like Paul, your pastor, or some of the good men in this church or good families in this church praying, God, help that family. God, help that individual. But until you make a decision, I'm going to allow this power right here to work in my life, it's not going to happen. But I do want to tell you, it's available. It's available. Been paid for. All you have to do is use it. Now, here's the final thing. He said, in order that, in verse number 19, you see that final that, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, in order that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, when you go to chapter 5, and I'm not going to do it because of time, he says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, which means be being filled. You continuously get filled. Now, listen, you only get possessed by the Spirit one time, right? But you're filled multiple times. filled with the Spirit? Are you filled with the fullness of God? I believe in verse 16, he speaks about the Spirit. You see this? Look at it. That you would be strengthened with might by his Spirit. In verse 17 and 18, he speaks of the Son, Christ, Christ. Verse 19, to know the love of Christ. And then in verse number 19, the latter part, he speaks of God the Father. The Trinity is at work in my life. I thought about this. I'm going to say this, and then I will. We'll bring this to a close. Yeah, I got to thinking about this. I was sitting at my desk. God lives in me. I cannot comprehend that. But yet, if I will yield to it, God will help me to comprehend it. He'll help me to seize it and claim it for my own. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. How's your home? How is your home? You know, most homes today, we're just kind of satisfied with subpar, below average. I don't want you to take this wrong, but I don't want a good home. I want a spiritual home. There's a difference. I don't want to be just good. I want to be spiritual. And I believe you do too. But isn't it sad that our churches have become okay with good? Let's be spiritual. Let's be spirit-filled. Let's take this and say, now, God, I'm going to allow these things so that, and just keep letting it grow. What's the end result of verse 16, 17, 18, and 19? Verse 20. Now unto him that is able. Yes. He's able. You say, now, preacher, you don't know what I'm going against. He's able.
Yes,
he is. He's able. Yes, he is. He's able to do exceeding abundantly. Exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think.
Yeah.
Amen. I'm telling you, brethren. There's nothing you're going to face or even think about facing that the power for you to conquer is already in you, in me, according to the power that works within us. Now, somebody's going to leave here and they're going to say something along this line. Don't close your Bible yet, because I want to show you verse 21. Somebody's going to leave here and say, well, you know, I done it. Amen. I done it. Praise the Lord. I done it. And he said, well, listen, don't you forget now. When he does it, you're only going to allow it. He's going to do it. And when he does, look at verse 21, you be sure to give him the glory. Because he alone deserves the glory. If your home is not a hell on earth, you be sure to get on your knees tonight and thank him that is worthy. You thank him that rescued you from a home that is hellish, from a home that is disastrous. You be sure to thank him. Now, if it's not that, you get on your knees and say, God, help us, help me to be what I heard from your word tonight. God, help me. But if it is, if your home is not a hell on earth and it's a heaven on earth, you be sure to say, God, I want to give you the glory. Isn't that what Paul said, brethren? I give you the glory. Well, you say, I thought we was going to hear about some of the women, about husbands and their roles and their duties. Well, Father's Day's coming. And some of the men, well, you know, I want my wife. Yeah, if we'll just do what I just read and preached a little bit to you about tonight, I'm telling you, the power is there. It's there. Now, as we stand to our feet, I want you to stand. As we stand to our feet, I just feel certain that there's some folks here that say, well, you know, it's not working, preacher. It's not working. Well, I don't want to, let me be kind here and just say, put it to work. Allow it to work. Allow him to work in your life. Examine yourselves. Take inventory. Find out where some things are not what they should be, or some things are not what maybe they used to be. I don't know that in your life. I know where Sheridan and I are. And, well, we work through things by the grace of God. How about you? Got some things to work on in your home, in your family? It's so easy to point our finger and say, you know, if my wife, if my children, as a man, and a lady, if my husband, and well, my parents. No, no, listen. Listen. You inventory your life. I'll inventory mine. God help me. God help me. You know, sometimes if I just be all I should be, it helps my wife to be all she should be. Amen? And ladies, if you just be all you need to be, it help your husband to be all he needs to be. And just keeps it's just keeps going with parents to children, children to siblings and parents. We just need God's help, don't we? I tell you, I can't do this. I can't live this in the energy of the flesh. I can't do it. I need God's help. Let's bow our heads together.